of a mighty rushing wind.
Welcome to Issues of Life on Spirit 88.3 FM. 60 minutes of news, prophecies, music, and the Word every Saturday from 8 to 9 p.m. Get revived, inspired, motivated, and warned about the times we are living in. Prophecies of old are unfolding right before our eyes every day. Verses in the Bible are today's headline news. Don't be ignorant, but be an informed believer. Join Brother Eben for the next 60 minutes and be blessed. Get this edition and others from spiritissues.info.
We'll be going
home. Good evening to everyone. We thank God for another Saturday evening. It's always a privilege to come your way. Eben, I'm going to be with you from now till 9 p.m. and I believe you are going to be blessed this evening. Thank you for tuning in. Greetings to listeners outside, wherever you are, online and normal radio within Kumasi. We thank God for how far. This is the second Saturday of January. And I'm glad to be here. And last week I started talking about living in a different reality, and tonight I'm continuing from that angle. First look at a few news items, and then I'll be continuing from last week's edition. It's recorded, it's put on the spiritissues.info website and also in the Telegram group. You can have access to the files. And yeah, tonight few news, then you look at living in a different reality. You know, the world is just getting off the charts, the normal things. You know, last week I said that last year is a preface or a pre-shadow of, or a shadow of this year. You know, it's virtually a continuation of this year in accelerated mode. You can liken this year generally as, like, you know, the year 2020, when it started as a normal year, and then after the 3 months, 4 months, the world became something else. And that is how this year is going to be like. So I believe, but the Christians, we have to live in a different reality. That's the reason why I'm talking about this, living in a different reality. So yes, the world will turn upside down and all that, but that's for the world, those in the world without God. But we who are God's children would create our own reality and be in it. God will create that reality with us, for us, and we will be in it. We'll get deeper into it as we go on. But first, let me look at this news item from the U.S. this week. They passed the new bill, Born Alive Act, in the Congress. And indeed, you know, American abortion is something else. I've not seen people talk about abortion so passionately like it's done in the U.S. It's serious. It's really serious. But this act is supposed to protect failed abortions. So, like, when a baby doesn't die in an abortion act, then the law now mandates that the baby or the fetus, whatever, should be protected medically, should be rushed to the hospital, or if it's in the hospital, to be cared for, not left to die. And of course, some people were not happy, angry. I mean, it's amazing how baby killing is something that can make people be so angry and justify it. Some quoting Jeremiah 1:5 to justify why abortion is necessary, and my mind just can't comprehend what's wrong with these people. So the House passed the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act, which says any infant born alive after an attempted abortion is a legal person for all purposes under the laws of the United States, unquote. Doctors will be required to care for those infants as quote, reasonably diligent and conscientious health care practitioner would render to any other child born alive, unquote. So the U.S. Conference of the Catholic Bishops released a statement congratulating the Congress for passing the bill. Of course, they condemned the 210 Democrats who voted against it. And the bill was passed by 220 to 210. All the 210 of the no votes were from the Democratic Party. As usual, I mean, the country that loves abortion, the party, they love it and justify it. And I remember when they passed the bill in December last year, also on abortion, now they have a new Congress. So these people who are trying to protect the abortion, the Republicans. But that act that was passed, you should see the excitement on the faces of people. And it's like, what is wrong with this? What is wrong with this world? All right, so we continue. Voice of the Martyrs, that is a Christian, you know, they record persecution numbers in the countries and all. So it's a persecution watchdog. Voice of the Martyrs adds 4 African countries to list of nations hostile to Christians. So a persecution watchdog has added 4 more African countries to the list of the world's most dangerous and of difficult places to follow Christ in its 2023 prayer guide for churches. Announcing the launch of the annual 2023 global prayer guide, the Voice of the Martyrs, which has tracked the persecution of Christians worldwide since 1997, said it has added and designated Benin, the Democratic Republic of Congo, Mozambique, and Niger as hostile nations. VOM explained that the hostile designation includes nations or large areas of countries where national governments attempt to provide protection for the Christian population, but Christians are routinely persecuted by family, community members, and or extremist groups because of their witness. The Global Prayer Guide is free to anyone who requests a copy from their website, World. That's VOM, Voice of Martyrs. Benin, which borders Western Nigeria, is considered the birthplace of voodoo, and many in the north view Christianity as a threat to their traditional beliefs. Jihadi violence increased in Benin during the second half of 2022, according to another watchdog, International Christian Concern, which says extremist groups linked to Al-Qaeda and the Islamic State have been waging war in the Sahel for several years. However, the violence is slowly creeping south and west into neighboring states, including Burkina Faso and Benin. Christians account for roughly 30% of the population of 13.3 million in this small West African nation. The evangelicals are about 8%. In Congo, the church in eastern parts is under immense pressure. Voice of the Martyrs explains, as the Islamist groups severely persecute Christians there, raiding villages, destroying churches, brutally killing hundreds of believers. Last October, a group of non-governmental organizations urged the U.S. Department of Homeland Security to allow Congolese citizens to remain in the U.S. with a work permit as they face possibility of severe persecution by Islamic extremist groups in their home country. ICC also warned at that time that Christians in the Eastern Democratic Republic of Congo were suffering persecution at the hands of extremist groups like Allied Democratic Forces, an Islamic extremist group mainly active in the eastern North Kivu province near the border with Uganda. Though the Congolese government is pushing back against these terrorist groups, insufficient attention is paid to Christian communities which are targeted for their differing religious beliefs, ICC stated at the time. Quote again, the ICC has witnessed the violence in the DRC firsthand, in one instance coming across the still smoking wreckage of a car attacked by terrorists in June this year. Okay, that was last year. Just days later, at least 10 Christians were killed when an Islamist extremist group ambushed their three vehicles near the village of Kamisaku, Kamisabu. And then allied democratic forces and Islamist extremist group allegedly blocked the road, shot all the passengers, and set their vehicles on fire. So this is just a summary of these places, countries, and others are also in there. It's that bad. It's that bad. Christian persecution is increasing in Mozambique. They're having issues. Niger, no better. But, well, we just have to pray for them. We just have to pray for them. All right. Then we have this report that says the World Boxing Council to launch transgender category for safety and inclusion. This whole transgender thing. WBC, the World Boxing Council, announced last week it's adding a transgender category to protect biological female competitors. We are going to put out a global call for those trans identified at least who are interested in 2023, and we will set up the protocols, start consultation, and most likely create a league and a tournament, WBC President Mauricio Suleiman told The Telegraph in an interview. We are doing this because of safety and inclusion. The WBC, an international boxing organization, initially banned transgender athletes from competing against females last August as part of its statement and guidelines regarding the transgender athletes' participation in professional combat sports. The WBC advocates for two equally skilled and matched athletes competing in the cage or ring on a level playing field, and to keep matches fair, competitive, entertaining, and most importantly, safe for all combatants. The statement read at the time, at present level of scientific knowledge, the WBC consensus is that allowing transgender athletes to compete against or raises serious health and safety concerns, unquote. There is no consensus whether a bout between a transgender woman against a cisgender or biological woman is fair bout between two equally matched competitors, the WBC added. During his interview with Telegraph, Suleiman asserted that transgender athletes should not be able to fight other athletes who were born with a different gender. In boxing, a man fighting a woman must never be accepted, regardless of gender change, he told a British newspaper. Woman to man or man to woman, transgender change will never be allowed to fight a different gender by birth. As reported by the Christian Post, other professional sports organizations such as the FINA in the US powerlifting have implemented policies restricting transgender athletes from competing against those of a different biological sex. And it doesn't make sense. I mean, come on. It doesn't make sense at all. At least, thank God, at least in the boxing realm, they are going by the standards to at least bring some sanity. And unlike other events where it's just some way. You have well-built, muscular men, and you see them against women. Very, very unfair. But that's the world we live in. It's just getting bad by the day. And we have to understand the times we are in. Okay. So we have this headline that says that new Batman story features Joker becoming pregnant and giving birth to a handsome baby. So, as I keep saying, the entertainment industry is just being polluted and destroyed for the children. The latest chapter in the Joker's nefarious story arc may be the DC Comics arc villain's most unusual yet. He becomes pregnant. So, in the latest issue of DC Comics series, the Joker, the man who stopped laughing, Batman's nemesis, actually carries and gives birth to a child. If that sounds strange, that's the way the graphic novel company intended it. On its website, DC Comics advertised the issue as containing Joker's most bizarre caper yet. And you see, this whole thing about the transgender thing and invading the space of children and in the entertainment industry, it must be taken really serious, because you see, the impact it's having on the children is serious. Psychologically, it's really damaging them, making them confused, creating the addiction in them unconsciously, because see, they know it. The reason why you have instances in those places, in those countries where they allow this whole mess, where you have 4, 5, 6, 7 year old children walking up to parents, their parents, and questioning their gender, demanding they want to be the other gender and all that. It starts from somewhere. That information, that feed, you see, something fuels that desire for it. And that is the entertainment industry. It's one of the factors they are using, aside education and some other things, like, I mean, I'm going to it because of radio. And, you know, it's such that parents need to be very, very, very alert. Fortunately for us in Ghana, we are not having this whole mess in our system. But the other side of it is the entertainment systems are available in Ghana. The same entertainment channels that the people in the US and elsewhere are watching and is destroying them, some homes have these channels, including some Christian homes, due to the power of technology. So you have very powerful satellites. Some have 2, 3 channels, like satellite dishes, so picking signals from varied satellites and having hundreds of channels. And some of these channels are the same channels which these children are getting exposed to, poisoning content that is beginning to affect their gender identity, questioning and all these things. So we really, really have to be careful with these things. Parents need to guard against it. Oh yes, conveniently you can say you are in Kumasi, you are in Ghana, oh, these things are not here, educational system is not pushing these things. But unfortunately, if you are not aware, your children will be picking these signals from the television channels you may not be aware of. And sometimes that's one of the mistakes parents make. I mean, easy access to these things, and the parents are away, the children can watch whatever they want, the decoder is there, the remote is there, change. And one day they'll just see something which will be attractive to them. And these things are made to be attractive in the first place, to draw the attention of the children. That's where the temptation begins. So we shouldn't just take these things for granted. We should resist as parents and do what we have to do. All right. So I'll be back. This is Eben, and we'll be talking more after this song. Okay, this is by, it's a long time I listened to it. Creates in me a clean heart.
Create in me a clean heart, oh God, and renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart, oh God, and renew a right spirit.
Create in me a clean heart,
oh God.
This is a beautiful song by Keith Green, Creating Me a Clean Heart. And we all know, I mean, this is a very common song and a prayer. It's a good prayer as well. All right, so last week I started talking about living in a different reality, creating our own reality in the world when things are not going as we want and things are not going as expected. And the reason why I'm saying that, I was saying that last week, is the fact that, yes, the year is a new year. Yes, we are hopeful, hoping everything will be right and good and prosperous and all that. But we also have to accept the reality that the world is not the same as we've known it over the years. Things are not the same anymore. And from the biblical point of view and from the Christian point of view, from what the Bible says and tells us, the world is not going to get any better. So once we have that we know that as a reality, as a fact, but we can create our own reality and be in a different reality. So I cited example of those in the who work in the embassies in Accra, from the ambassadors to the senior workers and all that. They are in Ghana, but they live in a different reality, because from the embassy compound to their residence, to the car they use or cars they use, it's all a different reality. They are in their country, specifically. So if you go to the American embassy, it's once you enter there, embassy premises, you are in the land of America technically, and that's how it is. So when they are also the ambassador or the embassy staff are in their CD cars, the cars with the CD license plate, technically they have immunity and all that. So they are in a different country, but they live in a different reality. And that's how it is. As we believers, we are Christians. As Christians, should also live in a different reality in this world, especially in this time. So I let me just get back into the Bible and read from Genesis 45 verse 9. Haste ye. This is Joseph sending message for the period, the family to come and join him in Egypt. So haste ye, go up to my father and say unto him, thus saith thy son Joseph, God hath made me Lord of all Egypt. Come down unto me, tarry not. Verse 10. That's Genesis 45, 10. And thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen, and thou shalt be near unto me, thou and thy children and thy children's children, and thy flocks and thy herds and all that thou hast. 11. And there will I nourish thee, for there are yet 5 years of famine, lest thou and thy household and all that thou hast come to poverty. So we all know the story of Joseph. They moved in, the family came, Jacob, the family moved into Goshen. So, things were normal under those times, like in terms of the world itself, they're in farming, but in Egypt, they were fed. And I'm sure, certainly, they also had special treats because of who Joseph is. But then we all know the story, time passed, new king, everything changes. Now they are slaves. And now God says he's going to free them, as it's been prophesied. So Egypt now has two sections, the Egyptian side and then the Jewish side. But then the plagues of God come into the scene. And let me just read Exodus 8:22. And I will sever in that day the land of Goshen, in which my people dwell, and that no swarms of flies shall be there. To the end thou mayest know that I am the Lord in the midst of the earth. So clearly God drew a line, invisible line. So the plagues only happen in the Egyptian side, and even the flies could not fly into the Goshen because there's a demarcation, a zone, a no fly zone for the flies. So you can't go there, because these are the special people of God. So, same country, two different conditions. This happened physically. And it's in the Bible, written for our admonition, for encouragement, and all that. So, we can also see and say that God, who created this for them, this situation and condition for them, is capable of doing the same for us if we place ourselves under his instruction and direction, and we allow him to. So let's look at Exodus 11:7, where it says that, but against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue against man or beast, that he may know that how that the Lord doth put a difference. And this is the interesting part for this verse for me. God, that the Lord doth put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. So it's God himself who divided and created the division. So there was a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. That same God who created the difference between the Egyptians and the Israelites is the same God you and I are serving today. That same God can create a difference between the non-believers and us. That same God. It doesn't matter the conditions that is going to happen in the world. Now all the projections are clear. The big, big institutions, the World Bank, IMF, and all. The recession is likely to happen. The world economic recession, US and the big, big economies. And we all know how economics works. When these big systems go down, the ripple effect runs through the world economy. So as for us, we're already on our knees. So when these big things happen elsewhere, that one, well, the world knows where we can land. But then we should not be moved by what is ahead, because in the same situation, you can call these things as plagues as well. But those in Egypt, the Goshen side, were not bothered by what was happening in the Egyptian side. And last week I was saying that, well, I mean, they will be only hear in the news that something has happened there or something is happening, or maybe when they manage to get to work, they hear, I mean, people complaining of what is happening to them in the Egyptian side. Now, maybe you see it on social media, WhatsApp, pictures, in the news, you hear it on the news, this is happening, but you are not experiencing it. So, the reality, living in a different reality, is something which we should pursue this year, to create a system where it's a God system. We allow God to create that system for us. It's God who created the difference between the Egyptians and the Israelites. See, because God had an interest in them. So we should see ourselves as candidates. Are we candidates that God would be interested in creating a difference between us and the unbelievers? Are we worth that effort for God to create a difference between us and them? See, so we have a lot of work to do on ourselves. We have to ensure that we live according to His commandments. That's where the whole condition comes in. Our relationship with Him. How well are we connected to Him? How well are we abiding in His word? And that's the key thing. You realize the obedience, a whole lot of places in the word of God where it's about His commandments, His commandments, His laws, His laws, His laws, His laws. If we obey His words, if we obey His commandments, we abide by the rules, we abide by His commandments, then we become candidates who are worthy of living in a God-created Goshen environment. So in a Goshen environment, it doesn't matter what is happening in the economy. Well, you hear it, you see it, but you will not feel it. And that's the case. It doesn't matter, I mean, it doesn't matter what happens in any country, the worst of conditions. It's not everybody who suffers that same fate, no? It doesn't matter. I mean, it's just like our economy now. I mean, go to the big, big, big places. I mean, the hotels, the big places, luxury places. People are still enjoying and living as though nothing. It's like it's business as usual, life as usual. Nothing has changed. So, in as much as the average person may be complaining or may not be experiencing life as it used to be and all that, the others who are also living in their Goshen altogether, it's like they don't really mind what is in the news or what is happening around them. Life is still continuing as it is. So, it's an issue of we believing in God. And that's the important thing, believing in God. You see, we are in times where sometimes, you know, people are struggling to understand what is happening in the world. Like, people are just getting more confused, depressed. You know, they just don't know what to do again. Something they've called on God for so long, and it's like it doesn't seem to come. They've done all they have to do, and nothing is changing. And some feel they are their wits' end. They just have to throw in the towel, give up the faith and walk away and all that. But be encouraged this evening. You see, God's timing is the best timing. You see, when these Egyptians, before they started really seeing the hand of God, they were going through troubles after troubles, being beaten, being slaves, enduring pain. It's as if God has forgotten them. So sometimes it's not that God has forgotten, but just that His timing. Because actually, if you really read the book of Exodus and all that, you realize that at the time they were living and all, there is the exact same day that God has prophesied that they will live, exactly 430 days. It was the exact day that they indeed have to leave. So it's like, if the time has not come, it has not come in God's calendar. So that's how we have to understand how God does his things. But then ultimately, we have to position ourselves in his will. Then he can do what he has to do at his own pace and time and all that. But ultimately, let's do our part. Because if you have not done your part, you can't blame God if he delays. I mean, how else can you blame him? You are not even positioning yourself. So let's position ourselves to be in his will so that at the right time, when he is doing what he has to do, he will do it for us. We need him. And this year, we are going to need him more than we needed him last year. Oh, yes, that's a fact. We are going to need God this year more than we needed him last year. Because this year, we are going to need him in serious issues that will be arising in the world systems. We are going to see things. Last year, I said, it's a foreshadow of... You see, God is allowing the church to understand the times. Sometimes the church is just refusing to understand the times due to doctrinal issues and all that. I'm not going into that this evening, but because of doctrine, sometimes the church is struggling to understand where we are in God's calendar. So it's like people are just, well, this and that and that and that. But we should understand the fact that we are in the end times. That's the bottom line. So whatever the Lord said about the times, whatever the word of God has said about the times we are in, shouldn't be a surprise to us. And in as much as these are the times the Bible talks about as the times of the end, then we should also be prepared for the worst of things, the extremes of things. And in preparing for that, we then know that it is only God we can hold on to see us through these seasons. It's only God we can call on to take us through these seasons. So if we don't position ourselves, how then can we call upon him? So we have to position ourselves well to be in the right stead when the right time comes for him to be able to do what he has to do. Because, you know, when the real storms begin to blow this year, the world will just be confused what is happening. But the Christian should not be. Yes, the Christian should not be. The things we've heard spoken about on this program and that the prophets have said and all that, we are going to see them beginning to really unfold this year. Yes, really unfold this year. And earlier in the program, I said that the way, if you cast your mind back to 2020, where the year started, normal, good year, normal, nobody here dreamt of anything, COVID and all those things. Then the whole world changes after some months, early few months, and then the world changes. So that mindset should give us an idea as to how the year can start well for the world, but may not be the same for everybody in the world. But we should prepare ourselves to create our Goshen, as I was saying last week, and I'm repeating this. Let's create our Goshen so that it doesn't matter when the system changes. We have our Goshen to be protected, to be shielded from the rest of the world. So the things, the storms will blow, the systems will collapse, the economic systems will collapse, and all that's around the world, banking systems going down, all those things are going to happen in the world. But God himself would provide for us. And there's one prayer we should be praying often this year, especially now going, for his wisdom to know what to do things at the right time. The wisdom of God, how to do and when to do and what to do. So his wisdom to know when to do things, how to do things, and what to do is so important. His wisdom in these things, very, very paramount. Because see, in creating a difference between the Egyptians and the Israelites, the wisdom of God is also going to be part of it. So whilst everybody is going left, you alone, you are going right. And it's like, people, but you, everybody is going, you alone, why are you going here? You are walking in the wisdom of God. So you know why you are walking at that side. Initially, it will look like, what was wrong with this guy? But because you are walking in the wisdom of God, you are walking in your spiritual Goshen, they won't understand. But eventually, the difference will be clear. So people will say, but why did you do that? How did you know that something like this is going to happen and you did this to avoid it? How did you know? And the difference is, well, it's God. Because God is creating his Goshen around you and for you. So we need to pray these prayers for God to give us the wisdom to know what to do, how to do things, and what to do. When, how, what. And even who comes in, because sometimes who you do some things with also comes in. Who you take some decisions with, who you decide to partner with in some things and all those things. So, you see, we need to pray along these lines as well. Then, when he is creating a Goshen environment for us, he will know how to guide us because we are already ready for him. Spiritually, we are connected with him. So when the Spirit is leading us, we are easily movable. We can easily respond. And it's very, very important. It's very important because, see, sometimes Christians can be in some situations not because God didn't respond. Rather, we can be in some situations because we didn't respond when he asked us to respond. We chose to respond maybe later. Or we chose not to even respond at all. So eventually we get in situations where God gave us the prompt, but we didn't listen. And see, once you are disobedient, clearly you cannot expect to be comfortable in a Goshen environment. Because just like the Egyptians and Israel issue, there was an instruction at the point. Mark your door post with the blood. Do not leave your room when the time comes. A lockdown order came. And had any Israelites decided to disobey and step out, he would have died if he was a firstborn. You see, so the order was given and obedience was now important to stay safe. So obedience goes hand in hand with God's instructions. He knows why he may be telling you ABC. He knows why he may be telling someone XYZ. He knows why he will be telling someone else 1, 2, 3. You see, the formula will not be the same for everyone because situations are not the same for everyone, various conditions and all. So the key thing then for us should be obedience. 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 And sometimes when we are to obey God, it may sound, quote unquote, foolish in the sight of men. It may look like, but this guy, what's wrong with him? You see, people would not understand you. Men will not understand you. Men may ridicule you. Your family may even reject you. Depends on the situation. But ultimately, when you are in the will of God, you are following what he has instructed you to do. Eventually, time will prove that you were right. So, we should seek to be in his will this year at all costs, in every situation. We should seek to please him. We should seek to be in his will. We should seek to walk as the Holy Spirit leads and guides us. Because that's the key difference between us and the unbelievers. The Holy Spirit communicates with us. It's one major difference. We can be instructed by the Holy Spirit of God. They do not have the Holy Spirit of God to instruct them. So when he says pass left, everyone else without the Holy Spirit will pass right. And it may seem like the right is the right place to go. But the Spirit of God knows ahead of time, some weeks or days or months ahead, that those who pass the right, eventually they will hit a rock in some months to come. And you who pass the left, eventually you will have an easy passage. So it's so important we align ourselves right in His will in these times is very, very, very important. And I believe as we decide to walk and tune ourselves along these lines, He Himself will guide us. He Himself will give us the grace to be able to do so. The program is Issues of Life. I'm Eben, and I'll be back briefly after this song.
I'm Joseph, I'm Mary, I'm traveling on a journey, and I'm carrying a promise I can't see. I'm scared and I'm excited, I don't really know what lies ahead of me. And I'm a shepherd on a hillside, as common as the clothes I wear that smell like I've been sleeping in a barn. The last people in this world to ever bow before a king, but here we are. And God is with us, God is for us. This is my story, this is my song. I am Herod in the palace that my pride can build around me. I start thinking I'm the one and only king, trying desperately to stay upon a throne that never did belong to me. And I am riding with the wise men over hills and through the darkest valleys, fixed on the star that lights our way, bringing all the gifts I have to give in worship when I finally see my Savior's face. And God is with us, and God is for us. This is my story, this is my song, and God is with us. Let's all gather at the manger, bring all our hopes and hurts and fears, all our unworthiness and shame, knowing every one of us is the reason that He came. And God is with us, and God is for us. This is our story, and this is our song. And God is God is for us all. He's for us all.
He's for us all.
Our God is with us, and He is for us all.
Yes, our God is with us. And I have a 10 minutes. I think messages. A few people have started sending some messages. You can send your message 0244-638-757. SMS or WhatsApp. 0244-638-757. Let it come early before I leave the studio. Sometimes when you've left the studio before the messages drop. Okay, so, you know, we are seeing signs in the world that really points to the fact that they are building the globalist system. The Antichrist system is taking shape. They are working things feverishly. You know, so sometimes, you know, as believers, we should understand what is happening. And we shouldn't be alarmed when some things are happening. You know, remember last year I spoke extensively about this central bank digital currency. You know, the world is, they are behind the scenes, they are working towards it. The digital currency, they are working towards it. You know, so when you hear and see some things happening, even in our country, it should give you hints, it should give you an idea as to what is ahead of us. It should give you an idea. You see, sometimes people wonder, can it happen that governments will seize all monies, accounts will be blocked, can things like that happen? Well, but we are seeing something like that. That should give us a hint of how possible some things can be when we get there at the right time. You see, so we are not in ordinary times. Yes, at end Christians, we should understand we are not in ordinary times at all. The systems are taking place, are taking shape little by little. This is all, it's all about power and control worldwide. Global power and control, where people can be controlled and people can be tracked and traced. So, you know, the reason, one of the key factors or the reason for the central bank digital currency is to be able to track every transaction people are making digital. So every transaction, and before that can be effectively done, you know, we are linking everything to one central point, your national ID, everything is being linked. So if we get to a point where you cannot hide anything again, and eventually it's not just one country, it will be linked worldwide. So the whole world, there's nothing like a hidden transaction again, because it's connected. So if you move it from here to here, it will be known. If you move from there to be here, everything will be seen in the system. And when you are also locked in the system, that means you are off the system. You are locked off the grid. Because let me just give you an example. Your national ID is linked to your health insurance card. It's linked to your driver's license card, linked to your pension, linked to whatever, your bank account, linked to your mobile money, linked to all other things that you will be registering. So if your system, your account is, your ID is blocked, in the database blocked, in the system blocked, and all the systems are fully online. I mean, as it is now, we are not fully online in the system, I mean the country, but when you get to the point where everything is fully online, to the point where when you are blocked at the central point, it runs through all the systems. So if you go to DVLA, your license is blocked automatically. If you go to health insurance, your insurance is blocked automatically. You go anywhere that your ID is to be used, you are blocked, you are cut off the system. If your mobile money is blocked, your bank account is frozen, everything, because you've been blocked somewhere. You cannot buy, you cannot sell. Okay, I hope you can connect it. We are getting there. Yeah, we are getting there. The systems are just taking shape little by little. The globalists, they know the game they are playing. Yes. And this week, Monday, they are meeting in Davos, Switzerland, in the mountains. They are going to do their meetings again, and they are going to plan for the world this year. Interesting times. You know, they plan for the world this year, 2023. They are going to finalize their agenda for the year. And they are going to finish it, Davos. So, you know, they are really working on one of the key things they are working on feverishly is the climate thing, and the population, you are too many in the world, and these people, they live as if they are gods. They are God who created us, and they just talk about these things freely as if they own life. But, you know, God is just allowing them and permitting them to do what they are doing just to fulfill scripture. the negative way of end times. I mean, they are fulfilling some, they are going to fulfill things they're already doing, but it's just God who has permitted them. But they are not as powerful as they think they are. It's just God who has allowed them to be able to do the things they are doing and they want to do. But we believers should understand the times we are in. We should understand the times we are in. We need the wisdom of the children of Issachar to know the times and what we have to do. We need that wisdom. We need that wisdom. If we want to live like the old school, how we used to do things, you know, 2019, 2020, okay, no, before that, pre-COVID, how things were just normal. Christosom, anything goes. We just feel how the church, when we feel like, when we want to feel like good. It's like we just serve God anyway, anyhow, carefree, anything goes. The season has far, far, far advanced into serious levels where we need to be serious with God. Oh yes, we need to be serious with God because the hour is very late and a lot of things are behind the scenes unfolding, but the church is deeply asleep. You know, I look at Ghana and sometimes I feel sad because at this late hour and I see people arguing about a cathedral. Oh no. I mean, come on, at this time. And we are happy about the cathedral being built for Christians in the country. And we are arguing about it. And those who oppose it are being insulted and all that. Come on. There are better things to think about as Christians. Not this cathedral. We don't need... See, we have to understand the times. If we understand the times we are in, this cathedral will be the least of the things we even be bothered about. The least. We shouldn't even be bothered about it at all. But well... Timing is very important. Knowing the time is even more important. And I believe, well, God will help us. Those who want to be helped, God will help them. And let's understand the season and be guided accordingly in the season we are in. Because the season is not ordinary at all, not ordinary. But if we understand the season and we allow the Spirit of God to lead and guide us, He himself knows how to take us through the turbulent storms of this life and this year. I'm Eben, and it's been recorded. We put on spiritissues.info and in the Telegram group, Spirit Issues. God bless you. And this program will be repeated on the Spirit Digital platform, spiritfmdigital.com. It will be repeated in the Word channel Monday 7 p.m. spiritfmdigital.com. It will be the Word channel. We have two channels there: Music Plus, Spirit Music Plus, Spirit Word Plus. And Word Plus is where it will be played 7 p.m. Monday evening. All right, so good night and God bless you. Thank you for listening. I hope you've been blessed, and let's keep the fire burning, yeah, because the spiritual weather is very, very, very cold. If you are not careful, you really, really fall asleep spiritually. Good night, and God bless you.
I'm Joseph, I am Mary, I'm traveling on a journey, and I'm carrying a promise I can't see. I'm scared and I'm excited, I don't really know what lies ahead of me. And I'm a shepherd on a hillside, as common as the clothes I wear that smell like I've been sleeping in a barn. The last people in this world to ever bow before a king, but here we are. And God is with us, God is for us. This is my story, this is my song. I am Herod in the palace that my pride can build around me. A star
start thinking I'm the one and only king, trying desperately to stay upon a throne that never did belong to me.